2012, 25th of November, Pastor Joly, the Ambassadors of Christ.
We've got the privilege this afternoon of Pastor Joly coming to share the Word of God with us. So, pin back your ears and get your pen and paper ready as well. If you've got want to make notes, you know, it's sometimes a good idea. I must admit, I don't always do it, but it is a good reminder. Even while the Word of God's being shared sometimes, it helps you to connect it and concentrate, yeah. So.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm a bit jealous of Andrew and Grace, because we're having such a weather today, and they are there under the sunshine, having a good time. We pray that the Lord might be with them, and that everything they do over there might be a success. I've seen some of the pictures Dama sent me. As a spy, he sent me some. That gave me an insight of the work they are doing over there. Fantastic work. I've seen a lot of people. I've seen Andrew and Grace praying for people. And I know that this is something that will be a blessing, not just for the church over there in Kigali, but also for Andrew and Grace. That will be for them an experience, an opening door for something even greater. And the Lord will refresh them as they will come, so they can be even a greater blessing for us here. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And we pray that they have a good service. You know, I used to pray before when I go to church. I used to pray and say, Lord, give us a good service today. Lord, help us to have a good worship. Help us to have a good time. But then I understood that this is probably the kind of prayer that will never be answered. Because in reality, God is expecting us to come and give him the worship. Yeah. He's actually waiting for us. He said, come on, please, give me a good worship today. So it's not about me looking to God and say, give us something today. But it's about me waking up this morning and say, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to worship God. Yeah. Whatever what's happening in my life, I'll forget about it. I'll jump for the Lord. I'll sing out, I'll praise, and I'll fellowship with my brothers and sisters in the house of the Lord. This is my offering to God. Hallelujah. This is what Sunday service is all about. It's about me and you deciding to come together to give to God a good worship. And as we do so, the Bible says, when praise go up, blessing comes down. Hallelujah. So it is a decision. I always go with a determination when I go to church to say, Lord, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to worship you in a different way. I'm not expecting something to happen. I'm not expecting the choir to give me something. I'm not expecting the pastor to give me something. I'm going there with the pastor, with the choir, with everybody else to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I just want to share something with you that has been in my mind those few weeks as I was watching the conflict in Palestine, with Gaza, the bombardment and everything. And I was watching the news and I saw the ambassadors of Israel speaking. I saw the representative of Palestine speaking. I also was watching the situation in Congo. Unfortunately, there is another war that has just started next door to Rwanda, really, where Andrew and Grace are. And I was watching all the discussion between the two diplomats. And my mind kind of went away from the political and religious discussion that was taking place. And I started to think about the job of an ambassador, how tough it is, how challenging it is. And then I realized that there is so many lessons that we can take from those positions. Because actually, we are ambassadors for Christ. Hallelujah. And I just want you to open your Bible in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. You know, I went to minister in a church and everybody had an iPod. They were using, you know, iPod for the Bible. And I had my old-fashioned, you know, Bible. And I realized how, I tried to use it. I realized how uncomfortable I was with that. Because actually, I like doing this when I'm reading my Bible. And I used to think that this was only an African thing. Until I saw many preachers having the same problem with me, you know. I like to feel my Bible when I read it. Yeah. I like to feel my book, yeah. You know. I like to connect with it. Yeah. You know, with the iPod, you can freeze at some time. And you can't undo. But, you know, with my Bible, I just... I go straight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. The Bible says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Amen. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's an amazing statement. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are representing Christ on earth. You know, if you look at this gospel, you look at properly the Bible. You know, in the Bible there is, in the New Testament, precisely, there is books that has been written by Paul, letters that apostles wrote, Peter wrote, John wrote, but spend some time reading the Gospels, reading the Word of Jesus. It will give you an insight of what he was teaching, what was he about. The message of Jesus was about the kingdom of God. He only had one message, the kingdom of God. He was preaching about the kingdom. This is the reason why when he was using the parables, most of the parables talks about the kingdom. He can take a parable and say, "The kingdom of God is like," and he begin a story. "The kingdom of God is like a servant who had a gift and who hide it. The kingdom of God is like a king who's organizing a party. The kingdom of God is like a fisherman. The kingdom of God is like..." And he was adapting that message depending on the audience he was facing. If he was facing a military official, he would use an illustration to which they can relate to. But the message was the same, the kingdom of God. When he was talking to villages, he was using illustration of a shepherd, illustration of a sheep, so that people can relate to his message. Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God, a godly, a heavenly society where there will be no crime, no injustice of any kind, where all the suffering will cease one day. That was the message. He was saying, this is what God has always planned for you. But because of sin, the world is as it is. And Jesus was saying to the people, there is a way back to that kingdom. And actually, Jesus was the model, the prototype of the citizen of that kingdom. Hallelujah. He was like a sample of the kind of people that God are dreaming. So, trusting in the Lord Jesus, it means I believe that if I live as Jesus, I will be worthy of that kingdom. Yeah. And if we are all like Jesus, there will be no more suffering. That's the reason why his message was all about love. He was saying to people, there will come a time when love will overcome everything. And Thus, the humankind will reach maturity. Sometimes we struggle ourselves with the meaning of life and we question ourselves, why such a caring and loving God, why does it tolerate suffering in the world? But we need to take it in a bigger plan. The plans of God is not just for you, it's for humankind. And we are going through a process where we'll reach a level where we will recognize as a society, people will recognize that the only way is through Jesus. That's the only way for a better society. Everything we'll try will fail, and then we will understand. And as a church, we are just a sample. As a church, we are meant to be, by our living, by our way, the way we are meant to be a message to the nation. So that people can look at us and say, maybe that's the way. And that's our challenge. That's why Jesus was saying to us, do not just preach, but also live in a way that people will relate to my message. Hallelujah. That was the kingdom of God. It's all about the reign of God, the perfect society. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the Bible says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the goal. That is the purpose. Through God, in the presence of God, from eternity to eternity, we will be there with God, and there will be no suffering. There will be no suffering. Because, honestly, most of the suffering in this earth is man's doing, is what we have created as we accepted sin. The Bible says Adam and Eve was put into the garden. Everything in the garden was perfect until they accept the compromission with the devil. Then sin came, and through sin, envy became. The first killing happened. Somebody was envious and killed his brother. And all the cycle of envy started and killing each other. And we destroy the planet. We destroy everything. But praise be to God, because he sent Jesus, his son, to say to us, there is still hope for you. If only you can be like him. If only you can be like him. And by accepting Jesus, we're coming to the Lord and say, we want to be like you. Hallelujah. So we belong to a kingdom that is different for this kingdom. We belong to a new kingdom. Actually, the term church comes from, I think it's the Greek word ekklesia, which means being separated from, being outside. We have been put outside. We are now into, we belong now into a new kingdom, a kingdom of light. I like what the Bible says about the kingdom of God being opposite to the kingdom of darkness. There is two kingdoms operating. You remember the parable of Jesus when he was talking about somebody who went to who was sowing. And as in the morning, he did the sowing, but in the night, the enemy came and he saw something else. And then the disciple came and said, what shall we do? Shall we take whatever has been, the grass, shall we take it out? And Jesus says, no, don't take it out yet. Because at this time, it's easy to confuse them. Let them grow. There will come a time where there will be no confusion. There will come a time where there will be no confusion. Whoever has a bad seed will demonstrate his bad seed. People will not hide their seed anymore. And we are seeing now, we are seeing it happening in our churches, in our congregation. Whoever has a bad seed cannot hide it anymore. It's coming out. And that says something about the coming of the Lord as well. It says something about the coming of the Lord coming closer to us. Hallelujah. We belong to a new kingdom. And our mission is to be ambassadors, is to represent fully the kingdom we belong to. Hallelujah. I'm no longer an African. I belong in the kingdom of God. We have no nationality. We have no background in that kingdom. There is no distinction of woman and man, ages, race. There is no differences. We are part of a new kingdom. This is what the church was in the beginning. People actually were leaving their home. Literally, they were leaving their home and they gathered together. They were selling their houses and they give to the apostle and they share everything. That was the concept of the church. It was a new nation. It was new people with a new mentality. And they were different from anybody else. That is the idea of the church. Hallelujah. We are a new kingdom. We are a new people. But I just want to reflect with you and I the role that an ambassador plays. And I just want to reflect from it and try to accommodate it to us as Christians. And I came out with few points. The first point, I realized that every ambassador is not elected by the people. He's appointed. Hallelujah. There is no election to appoint an ambassador. You know, last time we had the police commission election, which didn't go well, did it? Didn't go really well. But those people who have been appointed as police commission, they've got their mandate from the people who voted them. So they are accountable to the people. But for us, as ambassadors of the kingdom of God, we haven't been appointed by people. We are accountable to God. We are not looking to please people. We are not looking to please society. We are looking to please God. This is the reason why Peter and John, when they were arrested for preaching the gospel, they told them, we urge you not to preach in that name. They say, decide for yourself. Shall we obey God or shall we obey man? We cannot disobey God. We have been appointed by God, not by people. Hallelujah. This is the reason why there is always that power struggle between the state and the church. Because the church claim his mandate doesn't come from the institution. Well, maybe the Church of England. But the church in general claim we are an institution outside your laws. There is always that power struggle. Hallelujah. We have been appointed by the king himself. And you know, when the king appoints, that decision cannot be revoked. Hallelujah. Usually the king, before he signed his decree, he put his crown, he put his fantastic garment. That tells you he's ready for business. From that time, whatever he signed cannot be revoked. Our calling cannot be questioned. It cannot be revoked. Even when I fall into sin, my calling cannot be revoked. The devil actually can come and try to put you into culpability, to put you into guilt, to feel guilty. But you have to remind him that he's not the one who appointed you. If there is sin, you'll deal with that with God. And it's nothing to do with the devil. Hallelujah. What the devil tried to do is to say, you cannot represent fully the kingdom of God. Look at your life. Sorry for that. That's because I like to jump when I'm preaching. Hallelujah. The devil will try to convince you that you are not fit. You are not fit to do the job. They say, come on, just leave it. What did you do yesterday? Look at your life. You're a mess. Leave it. Nobody will believe you. Give up. But actually, my calling comes from God. He has appointed me. Hallelujah. We didn't deserve it. No, we are not worthy of that calling. But it chose to appoint us. Hallelujah. It chose to appoint us. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Hallelujah. We are a people that has been chosen by God. We have a mandate to represent the kingdom of God. We have a mandate. Hallelujah. And that must give us confidence. You know, I realize most of the time we are not able to live to our expectation, to live to our calling, because we lack the confidence. We believe that, well, maybe Andrew is more gifted, so he's probably the one that God will use. Not me. I'm just, you know, I don't even know the Bible. I'm nobody. That's for the ministers. We lack confidence, and we think that there is some people who are more qualified than us to do God's work. But actually, we are all ministers in the house of God. We are all servants of God. We are all representing the kingdom of God. Maybe in different tasks, because we are part of the same body. We do different tasks. But the pastor is not necessarily more accepted by God than you and me. Hallelujah. Sometimes we have that problem of confidence. We are not sure about ourselves. We are not sure about ourselves. That was the case of Moses. When the Lord appeared to him and said, Moses, I'm sending you. He wasn't sure about his identity. He said, come on, I mess up over there in Egypt. Not me. I created the mess over there. And the Lord said, I'm sending you. Hallelujah. That was the situation as well with Gideon. When the Lord appeared to him and said, I will use you to set up my people free from Philistines. He said, come on, I'm the little one in my family. And my family is the little in Israel. In my tribe. My tribe is the little tribe in Israel. There is nothing that can come from me. Lack of confidence. But actually, you are an ambassador for Christ. You are an ambassador of the kingdom of God. God trusts you to deal with the matters of His kingdom here on earth. He trusts you to deal with the matters of His kingdom here on earth. Hallelujah. That's why the freedom, the deliverance, the healing, the blessing of many people will pass through you and me. Because we represent that kingdom and we have that mandate. The Bible says, He sent the disciple. He said, go, preach the gospel, cast the demon, heal the sick. We have the mandate. Hallelujah. We have the mandate. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says something I want to read quickly. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. This is probably an answer to some of us who think we have nothing to offer. We are not qualified. Can somebody read it for us, if somebody's in there? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Thank you.
As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Amen. As everyone has received a special gift, everyone. And the Bible says, use it. Use that special gift you have. You don't have to be the pastor. You don't have to be the bishop. You can be who you are, but use that gift. Whatever you have, use it for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You know, I've realized something. If I ask you today, can you name me a name of a great man of God, you know, from this
generation. From this generation. Billy Graham, thank you. Another one. T.D. Jakes. Joyce Meyer. Fantastic names. Great man of God. So, when you work for God, you are under pressure of being like those big names. You say, wow, I want to be like them. If they build big churches, you say, maybe that's the way to serve God. I have to build big church. If they have a TV station, you say, I have to do like they do because they're doing great. But I realized that in the time of Jesus, they were a great man of God, but nobody was looking at him as a model. His name was John the Baptist. Yeah. The Bible says, you know, when Jesus was growing up, he visited the Pharisees. Even when he was young, he discussed with them, he talked with them. I think he evaluated them, evaluated them. Then he came across John the Baptist. He talked to him. Then he says, truly I tell you, from there is no, from anyone who's born from a woman, there is no greater than John the Baptist. But he was preaching in the desert. Nobody was looking at him as a great man. Sometimes we have the wrong standard. Sometimes we have the wrong idea of serving God. We think serving God is to be as somebody else. We think serving God is to do things as somebody else. But maybe this is not the standard God has appointed for you. Hallelujah. Just remain faithful in what you do for the Lord. Do what you do for the Lord. You are representing the kingdom of God. Do not be under pressure at all. Hallelujah. Because when you become under pressure, your motivation can change. I remember one day in a church that I was pastoring in Sheffield, a brother came to give a testimony and he said, oh, I want to praise the Lord because those days I'm back into preaching in the streets and I'm saving a lot of souls. I can't remember how many souls he was talking about per day or per week. He was praising God for the fantastic thing he was doing. And honestly, I became under pressure. I said, wow, I need to do better than him. I'm the pastor here. I need to do better than him. Oh God, I need to wake up. I need to wake up. So my motivation wasn't really to do something for the kingdom of God. My motivation was to be at that standard so I can always be on top. Which is not bad to do better. But what is the intent behind that? Hallelujah. When we become under pressure of trying to be like somebody, the intent can become impure. And God doesn't look at what people see. God look at the intention. He look at what is inside. Let us remain faithful in our calling. Hallelujah. And as we are ambassador for Christ, we need to get more confidence about what we can do for God. What we can do about our resources, about our calling. We need to get in a place of total confidence. And there is one verse that I want to read with us a wonderful story in the book of Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 12. Are we there? We're reading in the name of the Lord. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believer in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Amen. Do not let anyone look down on you. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. Timothy was a young man who became a servant of God through the ministry of Paul. And as he became the pastor of a local church. He was the youngest in the church. So he lacked confidence as he was doing his ministry. He was feeling a bit down. I'm just a boy, you know. They know better than me. And this and that. And Paul visited the church. He sent a letter to Timothy, wrote to him. He said, Timothy, do not let anyone look down on you. That means you have a calling, and your calling doesn't depend on your age. And this is the same for us. Our calling should not be affected whether we are a woman or a man. Well, I know there's been a voting last week in the Church of England about bishop, woman bishop. Our ministry should not be affected. Our calling should not be affected by the age, by our race, by our background, by our intellectual level. You can have you can have no qualification at all. It doesn't undermine the calling of God in your life. You don't have to have a theology degree to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Paul said, do not let anyone look down on you. But that also implies yourself. Do not despise yourself. Do not reject yourself. Do not devalue yourself. Hallelujah. Do not devalue yourself. If you want people to value you, begin to value yourself. Begin to say, well, I'm the servant of God. I've got something to offer. God is expecting me to do something in this situation. I've got something to offer in this church where I'm praying now, in this society. I've got something to offer. In my family, I can change situation. I'm a servant of God. Begin by giving yourself value. Do not let anyone devalue you. Hallelujah. That was the message that Paul was giving to Timothy. Because the opinion people will have on you should not affect you. People are free to have their opinion about you. But what is your own opinion about yourself? Your opinion should be what the Lord says about you. That should be your opinion. You say, this is what the Lord says I am, and this is what I am. This is what the Lord says I can do. This is what I can do. If the Lord says I can cast out demons, surely I can. If the Lord says I can pray for the sick, surely I can. If the Lord says I can deal with that situation, yes, I can. If the Lord trusts me to come out successful out of this trial, I will do it. I will come out successful. Because that's what the Lord says. Hallelujah. Do not devalue yourself because you are a minister of God. You are an ambassador representing the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Do not devalue yourself. It doesn't matter. You know, I came across a brother one day who was telling me, Pastor, I think I'm useless because I don't have a job. I've been looking for a job for a long time. Don't have a job. I'm useless. I say, hey, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you have a job or not. Some people look themselves, they devalue themselves. Maybe because they are unemployed. Maybe because they're doing a low kind of pay job. Or maybe they have few situations in the relationship. Or maybe they have situation about family. Maybe financial situation. Maybe they don't have proper qualification. And they start devaluing themselves. First things to do, begin by appreciating the little things that you have. You know, I told that brother, you told me you were doing a cleaning job and you left it because you say it's low pay job. I said, begin by being grateful for that job. And remember, every gift of God can grow. Every gift of God can grow. The little things God gives you, do it properly. You'll be amazed. Do it properly. The little one you've got, look at it properly. The little money you've got, just be thankful to God. Just say, God, I thank you. This is your gift for me. This is your gift for me. And now look at it properly. You'll be amazed how God can work from that little things to big things. Hallelujah. I remember the multiplication of bread when Jesus fed the 5,000. It was only five bread. Only five bread. But as they brought it to the Lord, they said, Lord, this is what we have. Those are our resources. And the Lord operated a miracle. Out of it, 5,000 people were fed. You might think you have little. You might think you have little to offer. But just value it. Give it value and bring it to the Lord. You'll be amazed how this can grow and bless so many people. Hallelujah. Let us be confident about our calling. That was the first point about being an ambassador. Our calling comes from God. The second point, an ambassador represents his country abroad. He represents his country abroad. And that verse we read of 2 Corinthians 5:20, when he says, you are an ambassador for Christ, he went down to say, what is our message? Our message is to reconcile people to God. This is our mission as ambassador. To reconcile people to God. We are representing his kingdom. We are promoting his kingdom. I remember Dama and Andrew went to Rwanda embassy at some point as they were in the process of the preparation. So if you go to the Rwanda embassy, the people who are there, everything you'll see, the literature, the people you'll be speaking to, there is an intent to convince you to go and invest in Rwanda. They are trying to promote their country. They are trying to attract you to say, listen, this is what we can offer as a nation. There might be opportunity there for you. This is the role of the embassy, is to promote his country so that people can join him. People can invest. People can do business. And this is our mission, is to bring the message of God and promote it in the world so that people can be reconciled with God. And this is called diplomacy. That's what the ambassador does. Diplomacy. It's the ability to convince people without violence. You're convincing people. You bring something good out of a situation. And you say, listen, this is your situation, but this is what God can do. I have to say something. As a church, we have become too judgmental nowadays. We are bringing too many judgmental messages, and people are running away from us. What we need to do is to say to people, whatever you are, I don't care about your life, about what you do. I know one thing, God loves you. If you trust in the Lord, I'm preaching. If you trust in our Lord, he'll do great things for you. This doesn't mean that we agree with that lifestyle. But what we say is we believe that, because you see, it's a vicious circle. You cannot blame somebody to live in sin while he has no power against sin. You cannot blame him to be the way he is, because surely he has no strength against sin. What you want that person to understand is that if you come to the Lord, you receive a new strength. And through that strength, you will defeat sin. You know, in the end of the day, when God will judge people, he will not judge us because we committed sin. It's actually normal for human to commit sin. He will judge us because we refused the opportunity to be connected to Jesus. Through him, we could avoid sin. This is incredulity. When people refuse to connect to the Lord Jesus, because that's the solution to defeat sin. No one can defeat sin. Only the Lord Jesus did defeat sin. That's why we believe in him, that through him, he'll give us the strength to live a holy life. And this is our mission We don't have to bully people around. We don't have to bully people. We can present the message of God without, of course, compromising that message, the true message of God. But we don't have to judge people in the outside. When people connect themselves to the Lord and they come to the church, now we begin to dress them. We begin to, what is the word? We begin to teach them how to grow in the Lord. What to do and what not to do. Because they are part of our people now. And we begin to tell them what is appropriate for them to do and what is not appropriate for them to do. We have to preach the message of God and to bring people, to reconcile people through God. In Matthew 24, verse 14, the Bible says, go everywhere in the world, preach the gospel. This is our mission as ambassador for Christ. We have to preach the gospel. But remember, everything we do must be done with love. Because that's the stamp of the kingdom we belong to. Love should be in everything we do. And the Lord also says, do not just preach the gospel, but live a holy life. So that people will listen to your word and they'll look at to your life. Actually, most of the time what we do speak even higher than, louder than what we say. Many servants of God today might have a lot of charisma, which is good, but they might lack characters. And that is a problem. Because we need to have the charisma and the character. We need to put both together to be efficient as representing God in this earth. Thirdly, I've got to rush because time is running. Third point, an ambassador. Am I speaking correctly? Is he ambassador? Okay. An ambassador never gives his own opinion. He gives the opinion of the country the government is representing. You know, if Britain is doing something in the Middle East and our ambassador is against it, he cannot officially say, I'm against that. He has to say the position of the kingdom of God, the Great Britain. My point is to say that we should live by the standard of the word of God. Our life should be shaped by the standard of the word of God. Because the word of God is what is driving our kingdom. To have a kingdom, we have a king, we have the subject, and we have the principle under which the kingdom operates. And those principles are found in the word of God. So everyone, as we come to Christ, you have your ideas, you have your perception of how to see things, you have your culture, you have the way you have grown up in life, you have situation around you, but those things must be shaped by the word of God. Those things must be put in the light of the word of God. Hallelujah. And this is how we can serve God. Society today is taking a different route. Society is being driven far and far away from God. As ambassador of Christ, we need to live by the standard of the word of God. We don't have to live as the word live. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Do not conform with what is happening outside. But let yourself be renewed by the word of God, because you are an ambassador. You don't belong to this society. You are a foreigner in this society. You have to live as your kingdom, as people in your kingdom live. Hallelujah. The world is taking different direction about marriage, about children education, about money, about morality. We're changing values. But we as an ambassador, we don't have to comply to those things. We have to live by the standard of the Word of God. That word that says, do not conform, but be transformed. When you say conform, it means conform, being under the shape, under the form, taking the shape of something, being conformed. But the Bible says, be transformed. To be transformed is to go outside the form, the shape, is to go beyond the shape. Actually, the world is like a container and is putting pressure on us to take that shape of the container. This is to conform, to take exactly the shape of the container. But the Bible says, come out of that shape. Be transformed. Let your spirit be free. Come out of that shape. Be transformed. Go outside the shape. Hallelujah. And we need to apply the authority of the Word of God in our life. The Word of God should be our constitution, because this is our kingdom, the Word of God. And we need day and day to meditate and to lead, to read and to understand the Word of God, because we operate by the Word of God. This is something very important when it comes to the way we operate. The Word of God today is under threat. Society are trying to devalue the Word of God. They say, oh, it's old-fashioned. It's just stories from old generation. You know, we don't have to, you don't have to follow what is in the Bible. The Bible is not accurate. That story never happened. But when we read the Bible, we don't read the Bible as if we were reading a novel. We read the Bible as an inspired word of God. We don't read it as a novel. If you read the Bible as a novel, that's why you get in trouble and you say it's not accurate. Because you find in the Bible a few things that can be apparently opposing each other. And you will say, well, that doesn't make sense. I'm glad I'm not making sense. I'm making faith. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible is so rich. It's an inspiration that is there. People need to go beyond what they read to be able to understand the Bible. Amen. But because they don't read it with the Holy Spirit, and they are quick to condemn and to judge the Bible. And this is why they reject the Word of God. And they say, well, we don't want it. But as a Christian, we need to reinforce the authority of the Word of God in our life. We need to say, we're going somewhere. And we've never been there where we're going. But the person is calling us, he says, that's the book. That's the manual. Yeah. We follow it. Yeah. We get there. Amen. We have a plan. Their plan is different from ours. We belong to another kingdom. We have different goals from them. We are going somewhere. And the Bible says it will come a day when they will realize that that was the way to heaven. That was the way to a better society. Hallelujah. The Bible is perfect. It's the perfect word of God for our life. God speaks to us through the Bible. He speaks to us through nature. He speaks to us through our own life experience. There is so many things that the Lord is using to teach us. It is the religious mentality that put God into a box and limited the word of God. You know, I always give that example that if I think I share it with you once here. If the Lord ask a question, and say, if I ask a question, I say, how can the Lord make people cross the river through the Bible? You find different example. You find, for instance, that for Moses to be able to let the people cross the river, he used the stick. He used the stick, the baton that he was given, and the Bible say water was divided into two. But if you go further, at a time where the prophet Elijah was alive and you ask him, you ask somebody who was there, he will say, no, The stick is old, it's old fashioned. In this generation, you need the coat of the prophet. You just stick it into wonder and you go through. If you move further into somebody who was living, or even back Joshua time, they will say, well, there is only one way. Only one way. You have to have the covenant ark into your shoulder and put it, put your feet into the water. This is how Joshua led the people pass through the Jordan. All those people will be fighting each other using the same scripture. One will be saying, no, that's the way, that's the way. If you go even further in the New Testament, you find out somebody will say, well, all this you told me is Old Testament. For us, we don't need to the water to be divided in two. We can walk on water as Peter did. We can just walk in water. And each one will be building his own dogma and doctrina out of an aspect of God. While in fact God is too big to reduce him into one thing. Hallelujah. The wonderful word of God. We need to reapply the authority of the word of God in our life. We need to say it and again, to meditate the word of God, to live by the word of God. And this is how we'll create a fruitful, a wonderful society. Between you and I, you know, we have today the welfare system. The welfare system today is a test of how fair a society is, isn't it? When we have the welfare system in a country, it shows us that this is a country or a society that cares for the vulnerable, that cares for those who might have who are weaker than the other ones. But that idea actually was already in place in the book of Moses when the Lord gave the commandment to Moses. That just tells you how loaded is the word of God. But it's up to us to discover that through time. The Bible says there has been a law that if you have a plantation, let's say, of fruit, the Bible says when you go to do your harvest, you shake the trees and you take everything that is down. Whatever stay on the tree, leave it for the poor, the widow, and the foreigner. That's what the word says. Leave it for the poor, the widow, and the foreigner. That was already the welfare system before it was created here. So in Israel at that time, if you are a foreigner and you're walking through somebody's plantation, you know there should be a provision for you somewhere under the law of Moses. This is the reason why when Jesus was walking into a plantation, he saw a tree. And that tree didn't have fruit. It cursed the tree. Because the owner of that plantation was too greedy. He didn't want to leave any. The Bible says when Jesus saw the tree without the fruit, he cursed the tree. Because the owner was greedy. The law of Moses was already in place. There is so many examples you can see in the word of God. Even when the word of God was asking people who had issue of blood to be outside the camp. Yes, it was image, as Ken says, of things that we understand now under the new covenant. But at the same time, it was keeping people safe. Because at that time, they knew only little about blood issues. So those laws that was in place, leprosy for instance, people were put outside the camp. It's because they knew little at that time about how dangerous, how contagious, and how to stop all disease. And the law that was in place was already helping them to solve and to deal with those issues. Today, we can come in this country, me coming from Africa, to seek protection if there is any problem in Africa. But that law was in place in the book of Moses. There has been city, they used to call it city of refuge. If you are being blame for something and people want to kill you, as soon as you get to that city, no one has the right to catch you or to do anything. That was the idea of what the Word of God was already aiming to do for us. But because we are so religious, we couldn't understand the message. It took us time until Christ came. When Christ came, He began to explain to us the purpose of the Word of God. Amen. So my point was to say the Word of God is perfect. And if we apply it in our life, we live by it. And we'll do wonderful things with the Word of God. And we'll be perfect ambassador of Christ. My last point, which I'm just going to mention it, but we're not going to go through it because of time. An ambassador pay his taxes in his home country. You know why? Because his wage come from his home country. So if I'm an ambassador, let's say, of Romania, here in the UK, my tax will go to the Romanian government because my wage comes from the Romanian government. This is just to actually let us see our financial situation in a different light. Your job, it is God who provides for you. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we think it is our wage. We live by our wage. It's not our wage. It's the hand of God upon our wage. It is God that is providing for us. Everything we have is by grace. So we believe that everything that we've been given here is by grace. And therefore, we need to invest into the kingdom of God. And when I'm talking about investing, I'm not talking just about money, meaning offering in the church, which is important. We need to offer in the church so that the Word of God can be built, so that the gospel can go forward. We need to support every vision that the church put forward so that we can achieve what we want to achieve for the kingdom of God. But actually, we need to invest even our time. We need to invest. I came out across many servants of God who became to, they started to serve the Lord where they were still very young. And you know what? That was a good investment. They invest even the youth into the hand of the Lord. We need to invest to pay our taxes, our duty. We have obligation to that kingdom. We do not have just rights. We also have obligation, because you know, to be an ambassador is to have immunity. You have a lot of privilege. But the Bible says we also have obligation. We have duties to fulfill under that kingdom. And this is something we might explore in a different time because of time. So I'm going to conclude my message here. Just remember, you are an ambassador who have been appointed by God. You have value in God's eyes. Give yourself a high esteem of yourself. Do not a high esteem, but consider yourself. Do not devalue yourself. Because God trusts you. God appointed you and is the one who gave you all the resources you need. Another point we made was that as an ambassador, we represent fully the kingdom of God on earth. Everything God wants to do here, He will do it through you and me. He will no longer do it by Himself. You know, it's not an angel that has come to preach, as Andrew went to Rwanda. He could just pray. He could just stay here and pray for an angel to go and preach. But it's not going to happen, is it? It's Andrew who needed to go. Because we are partner. We are working for God. Everything that God wants to do, He'll do it through you and me. If what God wants to bless you, He'll use somebody around you to bless you. This is how the kingdom operates. That's what the Bible says in 1 Peter that we read, chapter 4, verse 10. You have a special gift. Use it to bless each other. This is how the gospel operates. And as we do so, we are actually anticipating the coming of the kingdom of God. May the Lord bless you. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. I just want us, just for a minute or so, can you just for a minute or so appreciate God for everything He has done for you. Just for a minute or so, can you just appreciate God in your own way? Maybe you right now you feel like that tree that is suffering under winter. You feel like you have nothing left. As Ken say, that tree that has no more leaf. You feel like, well, you have no more value. But actually there is life inside you. Even despite the weather around you, there is life inside you. You are value in God's eyes. And that gift can grow anytime. That gift can grow anytime. The little things you have, for which you think, well, it's not enough, it can grow anytime. Just begin by appreciating God for what He has given you, for the little things He has given you, because He can use it. He can use it to do wonderful things. He can use just 5 bread to feed 5,000 people. That little things has value in God's eyes. Let us just appreciate God. Hallelujah. 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 Rama shekura baya santa. Shibara bakuru zoto ya barakaya. Romundo shibara baya bakara santa. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have chosen us. We are not worthy of that calling. No, Father, we don't deserve even to be your servant. But you have decided to use us for your kingdom. What a privilege. We thank you for that privilege. And we also believe, as your words say, that you have given us everything we need to be able to fulfill our calling. Father, thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that you are making available to each one of us to be able to serve you and to make a difference in people's lives. Father, thank you because we are not defined by our environment. Our financial situation doesn't define us. Our family situation doesn't define us. Society doesn't define us. But it is your gift in house that defines us. And we thank you that you have called us your servant, that you have called us ambassadors, that you have called us ministers. Thank you for everything you will be doing through us. Father, I pray that you make of us a blessing to people. I pray that we become an influence to people. I pray that our life may have an impact in people around us so that we can become relevant to society, so that we can become relevant in the name of Jesus. I pray for the church, your church through all the nations. May your church be stronger. May your church regain confidence in delivering the agenda for the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you.
You have no idea, Pastor Jolly, what we were sharing on Wednesday night. And you've actually met us head on that, I think. Yeah. I mean, there was, I suppose, discouragement because we don't do things as good as somebody else and things like that that we were actually talked about. So that is wonderful. Like God's really just opened things up for us. Thank you. Praise God. That's God's time. And again, you know, he brings out the word that we need at a time. Hallelujah. Praise God.